After the 2012 Newtown massacre, President Obama promised new legislation on gun control. However fresh as that tragedy was in the minds of Americans, no deal was made. And while a 2015 CBS poll found that 92% of Americans favored background checks for all gun buyers, there seems to be an impenetrable wall separating gun lobbyists and gun control advocates. Novelist Colin McCann is trying to break down that wall. McCann is the co-founder of a nonprofit organization called Narrative 4 and the author of Let the Great World Spin, which won the National Book Award. Recently, Narrative 4 partnered with New York Magazine and brought victims of gun violence together with gun advocates to generate conversation and, it was hoped, a little empathy. Lisa Miller, a contributing editor for New York Magazine, recently attended this three-day event and wrote about it for the latest edition of New York Magazine in an article called Can a Gun Victim and a Gun Advocate Change Each Other's Minds? I'm very pleased to welcome Colin McCann and Lisa Miller to the show. Hi.
Hi, nice to be here.
So this event was characterized as an experiment in empathy. Did you ever expect it to be so excruciating, Lisa?
I never did. In fact, I say in the story that I was skeptical at first. I thought, you know, how can these two sides, which have been so famously entrenched, find empathy in a weekend through this process? And Colm will testify that it was excruciating for everybody, most especially for the people who were participating in it, for the people who were brought to New York in order to tell their stories and listen intensely to other people's stories. But it was excruciating for every single person in the room. We were all incredibly moved and devastated by it.
Were you there too, Colin?
I was there for the whole time. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the whole process was excruciatingly beautiful at the same time too. I mean, we knew it was going to be difficult to bring people from such diverse backgrounds, from such diverse points of view together to tell one another stories. That's the trick. You step into my shoes, I will step into yours. I tell your story, you tell mine. In that moment, we sort of we make an empathetic sort of shotgun leap into the idea of being someone else, but you tell a personal story. And so these people came together, had no idea what was going to happen. I was terrified, and in the end, I think we had an extraordinary couple of days. And Lisa's right, we were devastated. We were at turns devastated, at turns exhilarated, and it was I felt sort of acutely alive bringing all these people together.
So let's focus on one of the couples. I mean, I think the pairs of people who had to empathize and suddenly walk in each other's shoes and take on the other person's narrative. One of them in particular was especially kind of grueling. Why don't you tell us who those players were and how this arc, I guess, played out?
Right. So I think you're talking about Carolyn Tuft and Todd Underwood. Carolyn Tuft is a victim of a mass shooting in Salt Lake City. So she herself was shot during the Trolley Mall shooting in Salt Lake City. And her daughter, her 15-year-old teenage daughter, was killed in that shooting before her eyes. And she was paired with Todd Underwood, who is the founder of United Gun Group, which is an online social marketplace for guns, where you can buy, sell, trade guns online. And he was United Gun Group was what is the group that sold the gun, George Zimmerman's gun, the gun that killed Trayvon Martin. And so, as Colm was saying, the deal is that Carolyn had to tell her story to Todd. Todd had to tell his story to Carolyn. And then each had to tell the other story in the first person.
To the group.
And I guess they were both quite apprehensive when they learned who they were going to be paired with and who they were going to have to talk to. And they both, I mean, as Colm says, almost miraculously completely went there. They completely heard one another equally, deeply, and then absorbed the other person's pain, absorbed the other person's point of view and perspective, and in front of all of us, embodied the other person and told the other person's story. And to watch Carolyn tell Todd's story was incredibly moving, because she would never in a million years be a person who bought or sold guns online. She is an advocate for gun control in her life. But then to watch Todd tell Carolyn's story, a person who buys and sells guns for a living, to talk as though he was the mother of a daughter who had been killed in a mass shooting, it was absolutely the most extraordinary transformation any of us had ever seen. I mean, we were... Yeah.
The oxygen was gone from the air. When he got up there and he said, "Hi, my name is Carolyn," and then he had to hold his breath for about a minute and a half until he could tell her story. It really felt that it was one of those moments when, the world was shifted slightly. Now, you know, we're a non-partisan organization. We weren't there to change Todd Underwood's mind. We weren't there to have Carolyn change her mind. We were there to see if the world could be somehow, if the lungs of the world could somehow be expanded by looking at one another and saying, "You matter, your story matters. Let me give you responsibility for my story, and I'll take responsibility for yours," which is one of, as we know, particularly now and facing the future that we're facing, one of the big problems in this country and this world, in fact, today. Narrative 4, which is co-founded with Lisa Consiglio and a number of authors around the country, has been doing this for years and years and years, but we never have done it in the eyes of cameras or reporters, and we've never done it with something quite so volatile. Wasn't it to talk about guns and gun violence?
It was, I mean, it really was incredible. And you know, as you say, Todd and Carolyn were sort of, we didn't know how these pairs were going to work, right? We put people together who had stories with sort of opposing points of view, opposing perspectives. We had no idea how these pairs were going to work. And Todd and Carolyn just both, they were both so brave and then so compassionate with each other and with each other's truth and with each other's human reality. It was just astonishing to all of us. But there were other pairs, too, that weren't quite so intense,
that's right,
but who would never have encountered each other in this kind of emotional way. I'm thinking of a kid who is a teenager who lives on the south side of Chicago and a father of three who is a avid hunter and lives in Kansas and hunts pheasant and deer on land that he owns because his grandfather and his great-grandfather hunted pheasant and deer on this same land. And these two people in the world that we live in now may even be standing in the same airport line and have no opportunity to talk or exchange stories, let alone to exchange stories so deeply with such like emotional heft. And they were both completely blown away by each other's truth. And that also was incredible, just to give people the opportunity to live and to inhabit each other's bubbles, each other's realities for a minute.
This is Arun Venugopal, and I'm sitting in for Leonard Lope today. Today we're talking about empathy and how you can reach across the aisle and understand the views of somebody who stands on the other side with an issue like gun control. Colm, I'm just kind of curious, what is it that happens with that transference of the story from one person to another? Why would I, as an audience member, appreciate the story in a different way when it's sort of been, I guess, owned by somebody else?
Well, what I think Lisa did so well in the New York Magazine article is that she captured the fact that it worked, but at times it didn't work either. And so it's not some sort of vast kumbaya moment where this idea of empathy, this idea of understanding one another is difficult. It's tough. Stories are dangerous things. Stories can inflict violence. They can shape us in all sorts of improper ways as well as proper ways. And so we have to be careful and look at it in that way. So there was always an edge that was going on between these people. You know, somehow now that the word empathy seems to have this sort of frivolous up in the air, you know, as if it's not muscular, as if it's not tough. I find the idea of trying to tell somebody else's story, trying to understand what that person across the street from me feels, is one of the most dynamic, energetic and necessary things that we can do right now. It's a literary exercise, it's a social exercise, but it's also a matter of becoming bigger ourselves at the same time too.
You had some individuals in this event who, I guess, went rogue or sat out or whatever. Can you tell me about a couple of those people, one of whom was Samaria Rice?
Yeah. So, right. So empathy is hard, as right. Colm says. And actually, you know, you can say, yes, I'm an empathetic person, or yes, I believe in empathy, or yes, I'm on board to be empathic. That's sort of easy. It's easy to check that box. But when confronted with the idea that you have to actually tell your story, listen to somebody else's story, and then embody that person's story, that's a really high bar. And yeah, there were several cases where people really resisted it. And in one case, Samaria Rice, who's the mother of Tamir Rice, who was shot by police.
12-year-old
kid who was shot by police for carrying a toy gun in Cleveland. She came to New York and she was to be paired with a police officer. So she was going to have to tell her story to a police officer. A police officer was going to have to tell her story to her. And upon hearing that her partner was a police officer, Samaria Rice said, you know, I'm not doing this. And in that moment, I was struck with the idea that, you know, maybe empathy shouldn't be expected of everybody. Maybe there's a limit to who should be able to draw on her empathic reserves or in what situation.
And you have people who are very skeptical of this approach, right? Like, is it Paul Bloom, who's very much against this idea?
He's written a book called Against Empathy.
Right.
As I said to him on the telephone when I spoke to him, I said, you're not really against empathy, are you? And he conceded that he wasn't entirely against empathy. But he is against this idea that Colm was saying earlier, which is, you know, empathy as a panacea for all of our problems. Like, oh, if we were all just more empathic, then we wouldn't be such a divided nation, then we wouldn't have mass shootings, then we wouldn't, you know, be so politically misunderstood. So he's resisting that.
I have great empathy for Paul Bloom's
for
statement.
Who? For Paul Bloom?
Yeah. But the thing that he's saying, and what he's saying correctly, is that empathy needs action at the end of it all. That's what Narrative 4 is interested in. We're interested in this idea that through storytelling, at the far end of it all, there will be some sort of shift, some sort of change. Todd Underwood went into his website and changed the rules of his website directly after, you know, doing the exchange. He didn't, you know, change his opinions completely, but now three members of Narrative 4 have gone out today to Kansas to go sit with him because he said the process was so extraordinary that what he wants to do is bring it to his community. He wants to bring Christians together talking to Muslims. He wants to bring young people talking to police officers. How is it that we can sort of make ourselves just a little bit better? And he saw it through the act of storytelling because he looked at Carolyn Tuft. And she wasn't just a law. She wasn't just an amendment. She wasn't a series of words put together. She was a heartbreaking human mess of beauty and all these things that go to make up the spirit. She was incredibly brave to tell her story about herself, her daughter, and then he had to tell her story back. That was a real gift for us.
Now, Colm, you're taking part in some events opposing the Trump presidency. Am I right? Upcoming soon?
Yeah, I am. Events about democracy, yes.
Okay, so I'm curious, how do you in your head reconcile opposition with empathy?
Great question. We're, as I said, a nonpartisan organization. That doesn't mean that I can't have my opinions on certain things. For example, I don't own a gun, right? And we went through this whole, and I've never had, I never have owned a gun. I actually took a bicycle across the United States almost 30 years ago for a year and a half, and everybody said, why don't you own a gun? You need a gun to protect yourself. I never wanted one. It doesn't mean that I can't bring people together to talk about the way that, this shapes the American imagination. Now, my 17-year-old boy was there for the 3 days too, and he was an observer, and he was virulently anti-gun at the beginning. At the end, he came to me and said, Dad, I kind of understand now why certain people would want a gun for, you know, in certain situations. And the police officers who were there, they understood the kids from who had been in the South Side of Chicago and seen such terrible violence inflicted upon their lives. I think that the essence of intelligence is the ability to hold contradictory ideas in the palm of your hands at the exact same time and still stand tall.
I've been speaking with Lisa Miller and Colin McCann about finding common ground on the gun control debate. Thank you both for joining me today.
So happy to be here. Thanks.
Thank you.